Oh, yes, it is. If you haven't noticed, the weather is changing. Well, you're living under a rock, and I don't even know where, because it's happening around our globe. Maybe it's finally helping people to connect the dots. But apparently, the Discovery Channel needs some dots connected more closely, more clearly. We're going to find out about a very, very interesting, very much of interest to myself and my occasional co-host, D.R. Tucker, who's joining me. We're always looking at what the media is doing or not doing to really alarm the public about a truly, you know, urgent crisis, and that is what's happening with our climate. Welcoming to the Green Front now, Daniel Swain. He is the campaign director for a group I just learned about and very eager to hear more about. It's called Forecast the Facts. They're holding meteorologists accountable for making those connections. And welcome to the Green Front, Daniel and DR.
Yes, how are you doing?
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Tell us, first of all, let's just back up a bit and tell us about your new group. I guess you've only been around since January of this year, Forecast the Facts. Who noticed there was a need for this kind of campaign, this kind of organization, and then the protest campaign in particular against Discovery Channel?
Yeah, so Forecast the Facts, as you said, launched in January, and the original impetus for it was actually a study that came out of George Mason University, which uncovered some information that to me was really amazing, which is that the majority of television meteorologists actually don't believe that climate change is either happening or is largely caused by humans. And of course, this is a big deal because people are much more likely to hear about issues of weather and climate from their local meteorologist than from, you know, say, a scientist or the IPCC. So, you know, this is something that's been around for a while and has been known, but no one had really done anything about it in terms of, you know, galvanizing the energy of everyday people to say, hey, this isn't okay. We expect to hear, you know, the truth and accurate information from our local news, and we're not getting it, and this needs to change. So we launched the campaign to focus really on that issue, but as we kind of started to pull apart the layers, we just realized that climate change denial or the lack of accurate information in the media is just such a bigger problem even than just on TV meteorologists. And so we started to look for other areas where we could bring that same kind of accountability, and the Discovery Channel is one of them. That issue cropped up recently where they have a major series called Frozen Planet, which is all about the Arctic, and then one of the episodes is about the impacts of climate change on the Arctic, except that they chose not to mention anything about climate change or greenhouse gases or human causes. And the omission was a really bad thing in our mind, but even worse, perhaps, was the reason why. They actually explicitly said, we're not going to talk about climate change because we're worried about getting criticism from climate change deniers. And to us, that sends a really problematic message to the rest of the media, which is it's better to stick your head in the sand and rather than receive criticism from what are essentially conspiracy theorists. So we felt the need to take action, and now more than 10,000 people have joined us in signing a petition calling on Discovery to acknowledge that this was really a big mistake.
And before we hear about what happened when you showed up there, I'm sure DR wants to chime in. You're talking about what essentially is dangerous self-censorship.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the word we use, and I don't think there's any other way to describe it. And so, and one of the things that's important when we do these kinds of campaigns is we make sure that the message actually gets heard. So my colleague Brad Johnson actually went with some local Forecast the Facts members who are in D.C. to the Discovery Channel headquarters, handed them the petition, stood outside with some signs, made sure the Discovery Channel employees saw us, and, you know, they have yet to respond and acknowledge that, you know, what we want them to, but it's clear that they know it's happening and other media have picked up on it. And, you know, the broader thing here is if nobody stands up and says when these things happen, this is a problem, this isn't okay, then, well, it just is allowed to happen. And so that's really the broader mission behind Forecast the Facts, is to make sure when the media is either getting it wrong or pulling their punches in this way, that people are speaking up and saying that's not okay.
I guess you could call it the omission of emissions. Well, why would they even bother to run a show of that nature without explaining the problem? I contrast it to the Richard Alley specials that were on PBS recently, where Richard Alley actually points to greenhouse gas emissions being the cause of the problem. It seems counterintuitive to run a show about climate change without pointing to the reasons causing the climate change.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great question, and I love your phrase, the omission of emissions. It's exactly what they did. You know, I think in some ways the contrast you're drawing is a contrast between something like PBS and Discovery, which, while it purports to be, you know, kind of a journalistic and documentary production channel, in fact is really mostly driven by ratings, and so they're willing to make those kinds of, you know, really compromises of journalistic integrity that I think a PBS wouldn't make. And the reason this is such a problem is, you know, Discovery actually, you know, while a lot of the shows on there are not really science-based, the strength of their brand comes from being seen as a really science-based program. And so, you know, the message to them is kind of, you can't have it both ways. If you want America to believe that you're about, you know, things like science and journalism and documentary production, well, then you have to live by those ideals, and censoring mention of the causes of climate change from a documentary about climate change really falls short.
And I haven't seen the series yet, but just the title of it would seem to be on its face, and I haven't seen it again, any of the shows, counterintuitive, Frozen Planet. You know, we tend to think of it as a hot planet right now. I imagine you have seen many of the segments. How did they overall address, you know, just what's happening?
Yeah, I have seen the segments, and in particular the final segment, which is called On Thin Ice, which it was meant to be the climate change segment. You know, to their credit, it is a beautiful and powerfully shot series. They do amazing stuff, and there's great footage of the animals of the region and of, you know, in the final episode of the glaciers melting and so forth. So, you know, their rationale was, well, we're just going to show people what's going on and they'll be able to understand, which I don't think makes any sense. You know, and actually, in watching it, because I knew that they hadn't mentioned climate change, but, you know, kind of like you said, it was hard to imagine how they would do it. I think it took quite a bit of gymnastics to not mention it, because, you know, they're sitting here saying, look, that glacier is receding, or this ice field is melting, but we're just not going to tell you why. So I think it was actually probably really hard for them to do, and I think the decision was made at a very high level. I think probably the people who made the show would have liked to better inform their viewers, but the people at the top of either Discovery or BBC, who was a co-producer of this, decided that, you know, they didn't want to talk about it because they thought it would hurt their ratings.
That's a horrendous situation, and it definitely points to the need of why we need more green media that will specifically focus on naming the problem and explaining the solution. Can you point to an example of a commercial show that actually points to the cause of the problem and that didn't sort of, you know, wimp out in this manner?
That's a good question. I think probably the immediate thing that comes to mind is just to go back to the local news, which is also very driven by ratings and concerned about that kind of thing. But even so, there are some meteorologists who I think do a great job and sort of give a lie to the idea that you can't go on air and talk about climate change, that somehow, you know, the phone lines will light up or the ratings will go down. So people like Bob Ryan in Washington, D.C., and Dan Satterfield, who actually is in Alabama, which is not the kind of place you'd expect, there are meteorologists who are doing the right thing and informing their viewers. And I think generally they get positive feedback. And what they tell me, because I've talked to some of them, is viewers actually want to know. And increasingly, this is being spurred by all the extreme weather, right? So you have, whether it's tornadoes or hurricanes or droughts or extreme precipitation events, viewers are actually calling their weather men or weather women and saying, what's going on? Am I to expect more about this? What's the connection to global warming? And when they give them that information, you know, viewers appreciate it. So that's one place I'd point where people are kind of overcoming this concern about ratings or scaring people or whatever it is that's leading people to really, you know, not inform their viewers properly.
Which reminds me of I did an essay for the Huffington Post Earth Day essay called The Eco-Evolution Will Not Be Televised, and I end it by saying, you know, what will it take to reach critical mass demand for you know, programming, especially broadcasting, television, radio, that really covers the facts. And I said probably it will be a critical mess, meaning people will notice something is really truly wrong with our ecosystem, with our weather, and making those connections. And the good and bad news, I said, is that we're getting close to that critical mess.
I think that's a great point, and there's been some recent polling that's come out that says exactly that. As this extreme weather has increased, including this, the winter that wasn't this past winter, folks are saying, "Wow, maybe this whole global warming thing is real." So, I think it has a real material effect on how people view this. But the ability of the media, or the role of the media in amplifying that and accurately portraying that, is just huge. And until they start doing their job on this, we won't see the awareness and from that the political will to actually make the policy and other changes that the country needs. So that's why we think, whether it's Discovery Channel or local weather people or anyone else, it really does matter so much what the media says about this.
You couldn't find two people who agree more with that. D.R. Tucker and I are obsessed with this, and I'll let D.R. chime in here, but I just have to say how ironic that at this tipping point moment, Discovery Channel, you know, in the last month announced that they were killing their green channel, Planet Green, which, as I also said in the essay, has been pretty much pale green since its inception, got more so over the 4 years they were on. There was a lot of hope in the environmental community when they said they were dedicating an entire channel to green programming, but I was probably among quite a few people who tried to get actual green shows on, meaning a live interview, issues-oriented green show, and I literally got an email back saying they were not interested in green programming, that they wanted shows that had a plot line, narrative, character development, and drama. And I wrote back after I picked myself up off the floor, crying and laughing, and said, mostly crying, and said, "You mean the future of life on the planet is not inherently dramatic enough? We need to manufacture drama." Truly, I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
I just hope that more protests continue to rain down on Discovery.
and also they're replacing Planet Green. I don't know if you caught this, Daniel, but we did, with a show about the best of Americana, and they're going to be having their signature show, if I read it correctly, was going to be the search for the best fast food restaurants across the country. And as I said, with epidemics of obesity and climate change, this is just what we need, right? That's a little bit hard to stomach, but that's the reality. It'd be funny if it wasn't so serious.
Yeah, no, truly, and some of this is a broader trend of where TV and reality TV is going, but I think just to bring it back to the Frozen Planet series, I think in some ways that's what makes this so frustrating and really sad, is here's one of these, pretty rare occasions when a big company like Discovery and then BBC are willing to put serious dollars down to go do really good filmmaking in a hard-to-reach place. And that's a big opportunity to really send a message to the people who watch it. And lots of people do watch it. Look, this isn't going to be around for much longer. And I thought something that was really, I don't know if it was ironic or just really sad, was the producers talked about how they felt this kind of moral imperative to go to the Arctic and film there because it was changing so rapidly. And, who knows what would happen when they went back in 20 years. And I'm not saying I don't believe them, I actually do, but just to hold that idea in your mind of we need to capture this, vanishing wilderness, and yet we're not going to tell anyone who watches this show why the wilderness is vanishing, I can't really fathom coming to those two conclusions at the same time.
We could not agree with you more, Daniel Swain. I regret we're out of time. D.R. Tucker, thanks for joining me for this enlightening interview. We'll follow up and see if you get any response from Discovery on your petition with some 10,000 signatures. Good for you. And check them out, Forecast the Facts. That does it for this edition of The Green Front. Have a great green week. See you next time.